Do we want to shift gears?
Sure.
Can you smoke some weed?
Oh, am I not being fun?
What, it's about to get fun.
Oh, great. God. I can't wait.
I'm scared. I'm taking a drink.
Hey, y'all. I'm Brandi Cyrus.
Wait, are we live?
And that's my mom, Tish. Sorry, she's stoned.
Why don't you start the show for once?
Me?
Yeah, let's hear your intro.
So, stoners, I'm being Brandy. So, stoners, we are back. Yes, I'm in LA at Tizzle's house.
True.
That's what she would say. And we are here with, so excited. Brandy's good friend, Val. My good friend, Val.
Absolutely.
That's what I love.
She was my friend first.
We're just our own little friend group.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Tiz.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, you're okay. You're an honorary friend
You guys
friend
sent
group
me
member.
The sweetest message the other day. I was like,
whose idea was that to send?
I loved it.
But who was just raving?
She was raving.
I was raving.
I love you, Tiz.
Like, I was literally raving.
You're not doing it right. We have to introduce Val.
Okay, go ahead.
Valeria. I've been calling her Valeria.
And you have been calling her
Valeria.
I don't know. She's just my full name. I just feel like Spanish, but if, like nobody really calls me that. It's always called me that.
I love that.
It's good. It's actually Italian. A name, but it's it's a Spanish Italian, you know, same.
Mm-hmm. Same. Well, stoners, this is one of my very best friends, Val Valeria. And Val and I have been friends now for over 10 years. It's been a hot minute. And we met when I lived in LA. And Val, like, I don't even know how to introduce you because you do so many things. But when I met Val, she was working in PR for a company called Nasty Gal, if you fashion girlies are familiar. And we'll let her tell you guys that story. But now she owns and runs her own company and works with a bunch of fashion brands, for the most part, fashion brands. And like, I feel like you're just like this low key fashion girly. Like, you know, it's not fashion girly is not like your title, but you are a fashion girly.
Oh, well,
she's literally the chicest person I know. And she's my number one travel buddy. And my mom has become friends with her as well. And we just thought we would have her on to talk a little bit about business and a little bit about her relationship because it's fascinating and to just like hang.
Seriously. Well, I've been saying Val needs to come on forever.
She has been saying.
Yes. Because, again, very similar to Marta. Like since I've known Val, I've only know her to be like killing it. Like truly
True.
Like setting a goal, knowing what she wants and like just freaking making it happen.
And literally working 24 freaking 7.
Constantly.
You're constantly working.
I do work a lot.
But also working.
No,
I can't. Constantly on the phone. Like, we could be in the middle of the Sahara Desert and she's on her work call at 1 p.m. when she needs
to
be.
The Wyoming me on a horseback.
It's too good.
Call was everything.
I have a video of us on a trail ride in the Grand Tetons. And Val's like, 1 second, a quick call. Stops the horse, pulls up the phone, and she's like having a conference call.
You have to.
It's too good.
I mean, honestly, this is why at how old?
35.
Has her own company and is making her own rules and decisions and like absolutely slaying it in LA.
Mm-hmm. Running shit.
Love you guys.
Yeah. And now also has a production company with Marta, who you guys met a couple weeks ago. And okay, so I'm done with the spiel. I want to hear from you. When someone asks you like, Val, what do you do?
What do you do?
What do you say?
Well, I mean, I work in brand strategy. That's what I do, a lot of brand strategy. I do a lot of my favorite thing to do is, and I really work with a lot of young kind of startups and kind of help incubate them and develop their just go to market strategy, their branding, their positioning. It really stems from my background in PR. I've been in PR for so long. I worked at, you know, different PR agencies for different designers. And then I was in-house at Nasty Gal and the whole girl boss thing. I worked with Sophia. And then I had my own PR agency for a moment with a business partner. And then I was like, no, I don't want to do PR traditionally. It's just a lot of, you know, schmoozing, being out, yada, yada. And as you get older, you're like, I like focusing more on strategy and like finding the why,
totally.
Right? Of companies, helping them find that why. Develop their storytelling and leveraging. I mean, I've also, you know, throughout my work in the years, I have a great network of friends and people that I love putting together to work on projects. primarily brand strategy, brand development. So I kind of like act like as a company's director or CMO, for lack of a, you know, better term. But yeah, that's kind of what I do. And it's fun. And especially when you have brands that really allow you to do what your thing, you know, and they
and
trust
be creative
you.
And trust, yeah, trust you
and
creatively.
Help them build their story. Like this one brand that I'm working with right now, you know, like I was like, can we just completely rebrand the whole thing and new name and new like and brought like a whole art director for it and they let me do it. It's I mean it's a huge investment to do something like that, especially if you want to do it right. But if they really want to do it right, that's what it takes, right? And then there's working with like more mainstream brands, but that's not as creative because they already have their formula and you're just doing a campaign and it's great, but the great things they have money to do those campaigns, but it's just not as fun and it's not as creative. So that's like the thing.
It feels like starting something up with a brand would be so much fun.
It is. Yeah. It's fun when you have like a whiteboard, really like carte blanche, you know?
Yeah. I feel like too, though, because so you pretty much grew up in LA. I mean, you didn't grow up in LA, but you did grow up in LA.
Yeah.
And I think like you have just really had like an interesting like front row seat to so many aspects of the industry from so many different angles that like when it comes to launching a brand or rebranding a brand or whatever it is, like at anything that you need, like you've got it on speed dial. You know what I mean? You need a photographer? I know this person. You need a stylist? I got this one. Oh, we need some influencers to post? I got this one. Oh, we want to throw an event? Here's the invite list. Here's the
Brandi
DJ.
Here's
the, literally, like you've got this Rolodex for like LA especially, but even in like when we're in New York, like she's got her Rolodex in New York where she's made so many relationships and connections. It's really impressive.
I mean, it's amazing. Asley, I didn't even know that you even knew who they were. And she was like, do you want to come to the opening? And it's one of my favorite.
I love her stuff. Lines. Marta knows her too. It's beautiful. It Bailey stuff. And she's so talented too.
So
she's
gorgeous.
Killing it.
So anyway, love. And it's just like here's the thing too. We talked about like not changing and you primarily being PR. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that you, like you were kind of ahead of the game by kind of making PR and the branding all kind of gel together.
Yeah.
And I think that some people just get stuck in that traditional PR. Like, you've got to be on the magazine or you've got to, it's so different now.
No, I mean, and it's changed. It's evolved so much because of social media.
Yeah,
too,
totally.
You know, like now PR is not, like, not to sound like I'm a dinosaur here, but like, you know, it's used to be just like traditional, like,
totally.
Like influencers, bloggers. When I was at like BPCM, which was like a big agency back in the day, they're a lot smaller now, but they, you know, we didn't loan to bloggers or influencers. It was just like VIP and press. And now it's become now like PR agencies have had to reinvent themselves and actually expand into social media strategy and influencer marketing and other stuff, because if you don't as an agency, you die. Because it's just everything's pay to play now.
Yep.
It's so hard to get organic placements now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there's like you truly like it's you have to have relationships to get organic placements, and sometimes you can't, because if you have a friend that's an editor at Vogue or whatever, they have to prioritize the company, their advertisers, right?
Yep.
So placement is hard. Everything's pay to play. And that's why it's like now more than ever for brands, it's super important to just like really invest in like positioning themselves and really just like that long-term strategy.
Yep.
And then also be able to just have money to play, because otherwise you'll get just lost in the dust.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. If somebody wanted to launch a brand, like let's just say a clothing brand, how much money does it cost to do that correctly?
Oof, I mean, I'm not on the operations and product development side of it, but I mean, typically, like a brand, like a clothing brand, like you can spend like at minimum $50,000 on just sampling a collection. Mm-hmm. And that's just your first season. That's why it's like when I went to fashion school and I thought I wanted to be a designer at first. And I quickly realized that unless I have an investor with deep pockets, I'm not doing it. Because your first season, you have to invest a lot in product development. It's like at minimum $50,000 just to sample one collection. You have to come up with multiple samples because you need them for wholesale. You need them for different things. That doesn't include any of the marketing. You know, it's hard. It's really, and then stores these days, you know, the landscape is hard too, because a lot of stores, especially with the economy the way it is, like are cutting their orders. It's just, it's very hard. And then I mean, honestly, you need to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
To do it right. Like to invest in like a campaign shoot alone. Like if you want
to, oh my gosh,
100K.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yep.
You know, with a good art director,
yep,
good photography, a good, you know, like photographers are not cheap. Like all of, and nothing is cheap. So if
nothing's
you don't have,
cheap.
I like, you know, not to take anyone's dream away if that's what you want to do with your life, but it's going to be hard at the beginning unless yep. you do something that like the brands that like the streetwear, like the Virgil Abloh's or
right.
whatever that, you know, they're part of like the cultural zeitgeist and they've
totally.
Been able to like change the way something is done. They're like movers and shakers or streetwear where like something like a sneaker, boom, it catches
totally.
On and it causes a crazy ripple effect. Then that's kind of like, or like Sophia who started Nasty Gal, not to take
yes.
anything away from her. She says what she did was amazing, but she was also at the right place at the right time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you kind of have that like magic
did
kind
her,
of start.
Did her family have money?
No,
no,
mm-hmm.
not
no.
at all. No, I loved, so Audrey, I talk a lot about Audrey because
yeah.
her and I have life talks a lot. And I told her to watch that.
Yeah.
Because
the show?
Know, the show, because, you know, Audrey wants to be her own boss. She wants to,
yeah.
she wants to do what you're doing, kind of a brand management. And then sometimes she wants to, like, she loves fashion too.
Yeah.
And I was telling her about Sophia and Girl Boss and that you should watch it because it's so inspiring.
Yeah.
Because I remember buying from Nasty Gal. When Nasty Gal was just
vintage.
Vintage.
Yeah.
And, you
That's
know,
how
she I would
started.
Go there to try to find all my vintage stuff. And then the truth is when it became a franchise and she sold
mm-hmm.
it, I mean, it was over.
Yeah.
You know, it just became mass marketed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And just so.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually her.
Right.
And so it ended up not being great, but I'm sure she made tons of money and good for her.
Yeah.
But like, it was so inspiring to see her build that.
Yeah. And she's got such a, I mean, what the easiest thing for working like from a PR standpoint with her was that, you know, she's got a rags to riches story
yep.
that it's like the Cinderella story that we all like to tune into.
Right.
You know, so it was made her very marketable. She's got a cool look to her, like this cool hip girl
yep.
from San Francisco, total like anarchist vibes, you know, like starts super rebellious, like starts to sell vintage and then, you know, her story goes on or whatever. And she grew from 0 to 100 in a very short. That's why like we got so much investment at the beginning for a fashion company. That's really unheard of. We were growing like a tech company,
yep. mm-hmm.
you know, so we were kind of like a fashion.
And
tech
she
company.
Was one of those first.
Oh,
that
yeah.
It really was like an internet, whatever
yeah.
that was, sensation.
Yeah. Well, she was the way, like, even till this day, I mean, Nasty Gal's kind of like a case study for brands that grew out of the internet and social
yeah.
media. You
That's,
know,
I mean, I just remember it.
Glossier, like Emily Weiss's
yeah,
company,
totally.
Followed the, like, they all kind of followed after Nasty Gal, you know? So it's really cool to be a part of building that story and building Sophia's story because it obviously helped me as well, like my career or whatnot. But it was super interesting. It was a really cool time to be a part of fashion and social media
yeah.
before it got too out of control, I feel like.
For I
sure.
loved it.
What?
Yeah.
Nasty Gal.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
There
yeah.
was some great vintage.
I know. Really cool.
Yeah.
They still
yeah.
do vintage, right?
No.
So they got acquired by like a few years ago. I think it's Boohoo. It's like a UK company, fast fashion that
mm-hmm.
just like kind of salvaged the brand, unfortunately. So it's like they kept the name. They either just bought into the list, you
Which,
know.
Which, how lucky did she get that? I mean, Nasty Gal.
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
Yeah.
Too
well,
good.
At the beginning, everybody was like, do you work for a porn company?
I know.
So I got to tell my parents that now it's like,
it was kind of scandalous then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you know?
What I love about it.
And then we had like the Nasty Gal logos and the shipment boxes.
Yes.
So everybody, there was all these jokes, which we just turned into PR of people
exactly.
being like, hey, like my parents think that I order like dildos or something from the internet or
Seriously.
Whatever it is because you
That's
get
too
this
good.
Nasty Gal
That's
thing,
hilarious.
You know, and it's like, no, it's like, it's great.
It's
like,
awesome.
And it's like, we had a thing for a moment. It's like, no, it's not a porn site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we did,
good.
We like totally played on the,
yes.
the whole PR for it.
I loved it.
For sure. All right, stoners, if you guys know me at all and you've ever heard me talk anywhere, you know that I absolutely despise cooking. I hate it so much. I'm not good at it. I don't have time for it. I don't like to grocery shop. I hate cleaning up after.
Ugh.
Also, it's just really hard to cook for one person. There's always like so much leftover food and then I'm wasting it. This is why I love a meal kit more than anything.
And the meal kit we love is called Home Chef.
It is. I feel like, have you tried it yet?
Well, I have tried it. And the reason I love it are all the same reasons you love it. The number one is the grocery shopping.
Ugh.
I love that it's just all done for you.
Me too. Plus, like, I couldn't come up with a recipe if you freaking paid me.
Me either. Like, and they have a lot of recipes.
They have a lot. Like, if it's up to me, we're having, like, salmon and rice and that's it. Because that's all I know how to make. So, listen, you guys have to check out Home Chef. They provide fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered right to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They also have a lot of recipes that are ready in 30 minutes or less, which is clutch for me. And they have oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients. I hate chopping.
I don't even know how to chop.
I literally hate chopping vegetables, and it's just not for me. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time, and there's literally an option for everyone. And not only is it convenient, it's economical as well. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries.
Because you're not getting a bunch of stuff you don't eat or use.
And contributing to food waste, which is terrible.
Yes.
So, stoners, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life.
My
and
favorite.
Of course, free shipping on your first box. So go to homechef.com/stoned. That's homechef.com/stoned for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right.
So if you want to try Home Chef, you go to homechef.com/stoned. You must be an active subscriber to receive your free dessert. Okay, I cannot believe that we are being sponsored by Mellow Mushroom.
Why? Because we love it?
Because we used to live there every Sunday after church.
I was going to say, I still live in Nashville, and Mellow Mushroom is just down the street.
It is my all-time favorite.
I know, it's so yummy. If you guys aren't familiar, Mellow Mushroom is this bomb pizza joint, and there's one literally 10 minutes from my house, and we did used to go every single Sunday.
Every Sunday, and I still, when I'm in town, go every single time.
You do get it a lot.
I love it.
It's really, really good. Not only is the pizza bomb, I feel like the vibe is good.
It is.
Know?
And this is, says that Mellow's pizza are stone baked.
Oh, how perfect for you.
Oh, and did you know their trademark brand mantra is a higher order of pizza?
True.
Very true.
That's too good. Mellow Mushroom has 163 locations nationwide.
It does.
Mostly in the Southeast, but it does say they have spots in Denver and Phoenix.
Wow.
So if you guys want to look up and see if there's a Mellow Mushroom near you, I'm telling you guys, it is bomb.com. They are actually going to celebrate the 420 holiday this year by offering $4.20 pretzel bites. They're so good. When you order online at www.mellowmushroom.com and use code MEL420 at checkout, and it's for only one day on 420.
And their pretzel bites are called munchies.
Genius.
This is right on brand for us.
It really is.
Love.
And also at participating locations, Wicked Weed Beer is also $4.20 for one day only on 420.
Okay. We had no idea they were such stoners when we used to.
I really did. That, like,
I've always loved Mellow Mushroom. Now I love them even more.
Now we know why.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
Important. The pretzel bites are online only for one day only with code MEL420.
Guess we got to order Mellow Mushroom on 420.
Cannot wait.
Do we want to shift gears?
Sure.
Can you smoke some weed?
Oh, am I not being fun?
Well, it's about to get fun.
Oh great. God. I can't wait.
I'm scared. I'm taking a drink.
Take a drink, smoke some weed. So the other thing I feel like we all love to sit around and chit-chat about is relationships.
We do.
And you're going there. This.
It's too good.
So Val has been with her boyfriend for how many years?
My God.
A long time.
Yeah, well, I'm...
How many?
I'm 35 and I started dating him when I was 19. So do the math, honey. It's probably like 16 years.
Yeah. 16 years.
That is crazy.
I know. I don't even believe it. It feels like just yesterday.
It is so crazy.
Doesn't it? Sometimes it does because it's like, I mean, of course it feels like a long time, but sometimes I'm like, dude, can you, like, you know, Jake is my best friend, you know? So it's like, I'm like, I swear, like what, last night we went to like LA Live to watch Depeche Mode, and we parked right by our old school, and I'm like, do you Like, we used to, like, this was, like, you know, it was just so crazy.
You all went to school together?
Yeah, that's how I met him in school.
This is crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah, randomly. We just, like, and we didn't really connect until after finishing school, you know? I invited him to an Incubus concert.
I loved it.
Okay, but this is the reason, like, this is, it's kind of unheard of these days for someone to really, like, be together that long.
I know.
And so I'm curious, like, is there any advice you can give the stoners? Like, what has made your relationship make it to this point?
A lot of fucking hard work.
Well, let's freaking hear it.
It's hard. It's not easy. And honestly, like, I love, there's this book by Alain de Botton. It's called The Course of Love. And it's fictional, but it's really cool because you see a couple go from, like, first date, people that have been together for a long time, and, like, what they go through, cheating, breaking up, getting back together, separating, like, just all the things that happen, all the ebbs and flows. And one of, like, the main things, it's like, you know, like, love is not an enthusiasm, it's a skill. And it, I think I do believe that, because two people have to put in the effort, and it's a choice every day. And if there's two people that are willing to put in the effort, and that you're making willing to make it work, and you make that constant choice that that's the person you want to work through things. You can go through hell or high water. Even you could go through so many things with that person, but you just have to always be on the same page that you guys are both willing to work at it. And it's definitely a choice, and it's a lot of work. And sometimes it's not easy, and sometimes you want to tap out and be done. And it's sometimes just easier to do that. But as long as, you know, you love each other and you're willing to, it's not just like, oh, we love each other. I mean, you do love each other, but you respect each other.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question, though. Where do you draw the line? Because obviously there's ups and downs in the relationships, and I've known you long enough to know there's been ups and downs in yours. Where do you draw the line between, I want to make this work and I'm choosing to stay and I'm choosing this and choosing to be in this relationship, when the other person is taking actions and doing things that make because I get to a point where, like, if the other person is doing certain things or saying certain things or not doing certain things, it's like, well, would he be doing that or saying that if he really loved me?
Yeah.
So where's the line between letting them go AWOL and be shit?
Yeah.
And feeling like, would they really do that to me if they loved me and choosing to stay?
Wait, could you
give, does that make sense?
Is there an example?
Well, I'm trying not to, like, air out her fucking dirty laundry.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was yours.
No. I mean, it's just an example. Because, if it was, so if I was speaking from my point of view, like, I'm not going to say names either, but, like, my ex, like, the things he said to me before we broke up and the action of choosing to leave and just fucking dip.
Yeah.
I could have probably made a choice to make it work and fucking begged him and tolerated the shit, and maybe it would have worked out. But I drew the line of, if you really loved me, you wouldn't be saying those things and you wouldn't be leaving me right now.
Okay, I get that.
So I chose to end it in that sense of, like, I probably could have stuck it out if I was willing to tolerate some of it and overlook it, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I know there's been some things that where you could have, you were at a point where you could take 100%. One road or the other. So what was, like, what made you, like, where's the line there of, like?
Well, here's one thing that I've said that to him myself. And, you know, obviously there's been times where we've kind of, like, been on the verge of breaking up or kind of had a break or whatnot.
You did break up when you were younger, though.
Yeah, we did. And I think I would, as a more of an adult, mature woman today, I would tell my younger self that probably don't put up with as much as the shit that you put up with, because sometimes when you're younger, I just feel like, you know, you're trying to, like, chase the relationship a little bit more. I felt like that's what happened. Not that it happens to everybody, but that was the case for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely today, like, not tolerate all that. And if I had to do it all over again, I feel like I have a roadmap of, like, soft and hard limits for sure. But you know, for sure, no, it's hard. And I think when things were going south, or things weren't, you know, the way they should be, or I felt like I was disrespected or whatnot, I got to a point where I always tried to look at everything has two sides to the story. Every relationship, it takes two to tango. And I know that what he's doing might not be okay, but I also try to take inventory of, like, what I've done, because it takes another person's actions to cause a reaction to. It's never just like, oh, this person, I mean, you can go out with a sociopath, I guess, and they could be crazy. But for the most part.
I've done that.
Me too.
But, you know, but if you're not with a sociopath and you're with like a guy and just you guys are together and shit, some shit happens. Okay. Well, that's not cool. Oops. Like that sucks. And ouch, that hurts.
Yeah.
But also, what led it to come to this? And then I take inventory of that and say, okay, well, that's not cool, but I know I did this and I know I did that and I know what my part was in that. And it just takes a lot of communication, you know, and say, you know what, like, this is shitty or I don't want to do this anymore. This is happening. This is how I feel. And if that's what you want and that's what you want to do, then it's best for you to go that way and me to go this way. And it's been, that's happened before. And there's been a lot of conversations that have happened. And even like,
not, I think that's growth.
Yeah, it's growth because we're all growth. And also like, when I was 19 and I'm 35, I've been four versions of myself.
Right.
And so has he. And so I've also put that into like understanding, okay, guys take longer to mature. Not that I'm saying it's an excuse, but I've seen Jake grow into like a much like more mature, like put together, like thoughtful person than when he was a shit in his early 20s, you know? So I put up with a lot more stuff in the early part of the relationship that I would have, but it was part of growing. And I think we've always just had a great way of communicating and like telling each other like what we want and allowing each other to be who we who they are. The problem with a lot of relationships is that people want to force somebody else to be something they are not.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And so, hey, like if you want to like explore life or you feel like you've been stuck and you need to go and move to a different country and try this out and figure out like, don't get in the way of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, if it's meant to be, it'll be. And as long as there's respect there and you guys want to make it work, great. Let's try to make it work. Hey, I want to go and I like to be with my girlfriends and I like to go do this. And like, you're not the kind of person's like, oh, you like be like, you know, we're not in like this patriarchal kind of relationship. We're very fluid and we go with the flow a lot and we're not.
You guys are.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I'm not married. Not that not because I don't want to be, like, we talk about it and I think we'll get married eventually, but it's not because I need that. Like, I don't need the societal norm, that structure that a lot of people operate in. And I think there's a lot of pressures that relationships get from trying to be in that.
Totally.
And I don't knock it for anybody, you know, if that's your thing, like, absolutely. But it does bring a lot of pressure. And I think sometimes it hurts relationships too, you know? So sometimes.
I can see that for sure.
Yeah. So I think it's just about like, yeah, of course, knowing your limits, knowing what's important to you and making sure that you guys communicate and figure out like, okay, is this something that despite like, okay, that you did this shitty thing to me and I did this shitty thing to you, like, do we A, still want to work through this? And are we okay with like moving on from this and growing from this? And like, how are we going to make things
and
different?
And I think like, you have to make a decision like you are truly moving on from this.
100%.
You can't just say that.
Right. No.
Like you've got to truly be knowing like that this is it. We're not never talking about this again.
Yeah.
Like this is a, I mean, for really, it's just like that. Yeah. Like, okay, let's get past that. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not stick to this one thing.
But a lot of people have a hard time with that.
So bad. And that's what I'm saying. You can't just say it. You've got to walk that walk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think today, like, honestly, like, I don't know if I could say the same thing if I wasn't in a relationship for this long. Because the way I started dating Jake before, like, it was MySpace.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Did you date anybody before Jake?
Yeah.
How many people?
A couple. I would go on dates and I had like one boyfriend for like a year or something that was like 9 years
That's
older.
So crazy.
So it's really been Jake like your whole life.
Yeah. For and then, you know, there was a couple breaks here and
but, the breaks.
You know, not to dirty out my entire, well, Jake, I don't care. Like Jake.
Yeah.
I've
he
told
does.
Him everything.
Totally.
But yeah, I think, you know, it's so different now. And I feel like people window shop now. I mean, like I look at apps. I can't do it. It gives me the ick, but I get it. Like, why? How else do you do it? It's the way social media is these days. And, you know, people are now like, you know, like you are shopping for like a handbag, but you're shopping for a guy to go on or a girl to go on a date with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, like, it makes sense that people also, because of social media, their tolerance to anything is so
crazy.
You know, it's like, oh, you, whatever, like you you did this, said the wrong thing next.
Oh, I know.
You know, whatever next, because there's options up there and you know it because you can just go on an app and find a different option.
I can't find any options.
There are probably a lot of them are shitty, but you know, like there's garbage. It's everything so fast. Like the way like news and PR is fast paced, relationships are like that too. You know, it's like one thing and then it's the next and the next, and it's so different. And I think for me, a part of it too is like that kind of scares me. And so
that would be terrible.
Yeah. So not that I'm like settling, but because I don't feel like I've settled at all. But I do think that, like, you know, I like the person I'm with, and he is truly my best friend. And he's known me for so long, and we've grown together and learned so much from each other. Like, why would I trade that for like a quick little flirt feeling or go date somebody else?
Totally.
I'm going to have to go and do this over again with, you know?
It's so
because you have, you know, to stay for someone
as long.
And now
you have this comfortable, amazing relationship.
And in order to stay with someone for as long as I've been on a date, you got to go through all that shit.
Yep.
That's full disclosure. Like, well, that's what you have to do.
Like, when you get together that young, and like you said, there's been four different versions of yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are going on a journey with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool because you, like, you know, you just, that just doesn't happen again in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. So yeah, it's just like, it's just a constant choice, and it's a lot of work, and it is a lot of putting up with shit. And if you are the kind of person that just doesn't like the commitment or doesn't want to, but you know, then you're better off just keep like having your own life and doing your thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but it is like, and it's 100% a compromise. It's not just you anymore. It's somebody else. It's like the hardest. It's like one of the hardest jobs to be with someone as long as I've been in a relationship. So it really just like, it just takes that commitment ultimately.
Yeah, that's the freaking tea. All right, guys, we want to give a quick shout out to one of our favorite sponsors, Nutrafol. I take my Nutrafol. Do you take your Nutrafol?
I take my Nutrafol all the time.
I do too.
I'll have the one for 50 and over.
I was going to say, there's a few different formulas. There is one for women that are postmenopausal, would be my mother. and if you're confused about like which formula of Nutrafol is right for you, you can go on their website and they do have a quick hair quiz that you can take. You just answer a few questions and then they will tell you which formula is right for you. If you aren't familiar, Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. I've taken it for years.
I can tell a huge difference.
I can too. I have such like baby fine hair and not very much of it, but my hair does not shed. Like, it really doesn't. And some of my girlfriends, like when they come on trips with me and stuff, their hair will be everywhere, like all over the sink and in the shower. I just do not lose hair like that.
And I feel like you used to and don't anymore.
I did. Honestly, maybe, but I definitely do not anymore. Like, I barely even lose hair in my brush when I brush it out.
Well, this is amazing. So tell the stoners how we get it.
Also, Nutrafol has a subscription that you can do so that it shows up on your doorstep.
I do a subscription.
Okay, so clutch. That way you never run out. All right, you guys, if you want to take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code STONED.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code STONED. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code STONED. So this is one of my favorites. It's the Integra Boost, which helps keep your weed fresher.
It sure does. Integra specially brings you plant-based solutions for top-tier cannabis storage and packaging.
And my favorite part is that with the terpenes, that you can kind of mix and match and make them different flavors and just kind of specialize your weed.
Totally. Plus, they are precision-crafted plant-based packs that are entirely food-safe, so they can be used with any of your cannabis products. Integra offers an array of sizes and relative humidity levels for storing flower, pre-rolls, gummies, blunt wraps, and so much more.
For more information, check them out at www.integraboost.com or at Integra Herbal on Instagram. Use code SWS at checkout for 15% off of your next online purchase at www.integraboost.com.
All right, you guys, we want to tell you about another one of our sponsors. It's Lumi Deodorant. I think we've talked about them before. I keep one of these sticks in my carry-on bag when I'm traveling. I don't like deodorant. It's just one of those things that I never think to pack. So I just make sure I always have it on me. If you guys aren't familiar, Lumi is a whole body deodorant that was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. This deodorant is baking soda free and paraben free, plus it's pH balanced for safe use. I know for me, like I've heard so much bad stuff about deodorant and like what's in it isn't great for you, that a lot of the traditional ones that you can buy at your local drugstore just aren't cutting it for me. So I really love Lumi. Plus they come in a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, which is my favorite, and they also have toasted coconut.
And the great thing is you can use Lumi all over your entire body. So when you travel, it's so much easier just to have one product.
Plus, they also have deodorant wipes, which are super clutch, especially if you're on like the red eye or an overnight flight. And they also have body wash, which is really cute. And it comes in a mini travel size as well. Lumi offers a starter pack that's perfect for new customers. And as a special offer for our listeners, all new customers get 15% off Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack.
Use code STONED for 15% off your first purchase of LumiDeodorant.com. That's code STONED at LumiDeodorant.com.
Oh, should we do some DRMTs?
Yes, please.
Val, you're going to sit in on some DRMTs.
I love it.
This is where the stoners call in with questions for Tish to answer. And Tish is supposed to be really high when she answers these questions. Are you stoned enough?
I feel like I am stoned, but like since I started at freaking 11 a.m.
Oh, here we freaking go. All right, here we go.
Hey, Tish and Brandy, this is Molly from Minnesota. I have been a listener since y'all started the pod. Yes. And can't believe this is my first time actually calling in. I actually recently stopped smoking because I'm trying to get pregnant, so supplementing with drinkables and edibles for now. Side note, just listen to y'all, and the shoes in the house thing drives me crazy. It's my pet peeve, especially when the homeowner takes off their shoes and the guests don't. Like, couldn't be more rude. But since I am doing less smoke and more drinkables, I was wondering if y'all had ever tried any THC drinkables. It's become a big thing here in Minnesota since we're still working on getting the law fully passed. But I have been loving the 5 and 10 milligram drink that I have been supplementing with. So if y'all have any favorites, I would love to hear what you've tried. Sorry, I'm not stoned, working on a drink right now. Love y'all.
Yes. So there's a company called Can that in the very beginning when they launched, they would send me so much of that product.
And she's on the PR list.
And I literally got on. Oh, don't touch.
She kills
me.
See,
I'm always in trouble.
Well, it's because you're always nuts. Okay, so,
anyway, I literally talked to the creator of Can.
She's losing
and
it.
There was a reason that I was also a little bit of the inspiration for it.
I hear Dom pulling in the driveway.
Hold for sound.
Hold for the Toyota Tundra.
I love that he has a Toyota Tundra. More than anything. I say that. I just like
how
love.
Much you love that me and him both have Toyotas.
I love it.
It's insane.
The 4Runner and the Tundra.
Okay, I think
I love it.
Carry on.
You interrupted my train
of thought.
You
were like, they based the drink on me. Like, I was the inspiration.
Yeah, there was some type of inspiration. I forget what it was. But anyway, it's freaking amazing.
Okay.
And it's called Can. And
Can.
It's like C-A-N? Infused with C-A-N-N or C-A-A-N. I think C-A-N-N. Okay. And it's so cute.
Okay.
And I think you'd love it.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Does it make you feel high when you drink it?
Barely. Like, okay. It's very slight.
Have you ever had a drink with THC?
No.
Me either.
I mean, I've had, Yeah, I have, but I don't think anything that's like that memorable.
Nothing makes you feel crazy. So I haven't tried it yet, but there's a company called Nowadays that makes, it looks like liquor, but there's no alcohol in it, but it's THC. And I had two of them sitting in my bar cart, and we were supposed to try it last week, and we all forgot. But maybe Molly from Minnesota would like that.
Yes.
So maybe check out Nowadays if you like are feeling like you wish you could have a cocktail, but you can't because you're trying to get pregnant and you can have THC. Maybe that's a good thing for you. Also, they should sponsor this podcast.
Exactly.
Nowadays.
I didn't realize you had to take a break to like, not that I'm THC, like to get pregnant. Is that a thing?
It sounds like it's more
like, did you do that?
Well, I never smoked weed at that time. But
it sounds like since she's drinking it, it's the smoking that she's giving
worried
up,
about.
Right?
Yeah, maybe the smoking.
I think because I think the smoke like maybe can cause premature.
Yeah, it's like smoking cigarettes, right? Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah, I bet it has more to do with like the smoking of it than than the THC.
Yeah.
From what I gather. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Love Molly from Minnesota.
Me too.
Next question.
Hi, my name's Emily. This is so out of my comfort zone. Have literally never done something like this, but I need some advice for my best friend. And it's probably going to be coming from Brandy, but open to advice from both of you. I have a friend who recently went through a breakup and is like gone through this huge healing journey. And I'm super proud of her. And she's now moving to Denver. Super exciting. She signed a lease. Did all the things, and she's moving super soon. And I was just hoping to be able to call in and then get some advice for her on different restaurants, different little niches, different things to do there. Just kind of let her have like a mini guide to help her get through the first couple of weeks of just moving somewhere she's never experienced before. Yeah, I just think it'd be super cool to be able to send her this podcast and have her be able to like listen to it on the plane. And just get the lowdown and feel so encouraged when she's about to move. Because so I'm just so proud of her. And I know it's going to be so good. So just want to help her in any way I can. And I know absolutely nothing about Denver. So you know a lot more than I do. Anyway, I'm not stoned, but I'm super thankful to be able to listen to you guys every week. I think you guys are super sweet and entertaining. And I love all of your advice. And so, yeah, thanks so much.
How cute are they?
Emily's the freaking best.
I'm a good friend.
Yeah,
seriously.
Totally.
What a good friend. Emily, you're a good friend. And I hope someone's told you that. And if not, I'm telling you now.
Yep.
That is too cute.
Yep.
I love Denver. Everyone knows. Like, I love Denver. They should put me, I should run their PR. Like,
should.
I literally pay me. It wasn't because of a breakup that I moved to Denver, but I did move to Denver for a little bit of like a healing journey as well.
Oh, you did you?
Yeah, I did, Mom. And you know, I'm pretty like vocal. I've talked about it before, but I had a dog, a German Shepherd. His name was Feather. And when Feather passed suddenly, I just needed to get out of the house. I needed a change, and I needed a little bit of a healing journey. And so I picked up and moved to Denver. I did have some friends there already, mm-hmm. which was really nice. I had like two or three friends that I knew lived there, so it wasn't like super cold turkey. But it was the first time in my life really that I moved somewhere that I was out of my element.
Yeah.
When I moved to LA, I had all you guys. You know what I mean? So even though I didn't have friends yet, my family was there. So it wasn't like I just moved somewhere totally alone. So the Denver move for me was like the closest to that I've gotten and probably will get, maybe. I don't know. But it's great. The thing I love about Denver is there's so much to do. Shockingly, Tish visited me in Denver, which is absolutely the fact that you got on a plane and flew to Denver.
I
can't believe you did that.
I did.
It was all because she got to decorate an apartment.
I was going
to
say, was that when you guys decorated?
Yeah, it was so fun.
Yeah, it was all fun.
And we really loved it.
Wait, was that also when Ben went to the show?
Yeah, were you there?
I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Oh, yeah, because your friend, was it your friend that let her in? I don't know. Anyway, we can rehash that later. Back to Denver. Okay, so much to do in Denver. Speaking of concerts, like every major artist comes through there. They have a huge, huge music scene, like tons of clubs and bars downtown that like artists like Noah's Size would play. But Red Rocks is 20 minutes outside of the city. And if you have never been to Red Rocks, everybody should see a show at Red Rocks in their lifetime. Have you seen a show at Red Rocks? You have, right?
I've heard it's insane.
It's absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. And every summer they just get like the best of the best acts that come through there. Everything from, you know, like a Tyler Childers to like an Odessa. Like they have DJs play there. And it's just the coolest thing ever. A lot of country artists play there too.
I remember that.
So I saw Sam play there two nights. But highly recommend that. The food scene in Denver is so good, right? Like how many times Val came to visit me? A lot. What are some of your favorite? I mean, you know me, I love Barcelona. Yeah. And I know that's not just a Denver thing, but it's in like the arts district in Denver. And it's just a great vibe. Like you can go have dinner at Barcelona and then walk outside and there's like a row of bars and there's graffiti on all the walls. It's just like a really cool vibe.
There was that one place that like with the kind of like an outside area. There was like a fire, like fire pits and stuff. Do you remember?
I think that was in Lohi. So Lohi is like a little suburb. It's pretty much downtown, but it's just across the river. So it's technically like just, I guess, northwest of downtown. Mm-hmm. And it's so cute. It's very walkable and yeah. just so many good restaurants and bars and coffee shops and such cute stuff. And like a lot of indoor outdoor spaces. I always loved Avanti. It kind of has like a young feel to it in a way, but I don't know. I just really loved it. Avanti has like a huge outdoor patio and it's almost like a food hall where you go in and there's like 8 or 10 different restaurants to choose from within Avanti.
Yeah.
They always had the best poke bowl ever, which was my favorite.
Oh, and that coffee shop that's right next to it. I remember like one of the clients that one of my clients you're almost doing this app thing with, like gave us a limo and you made me walk out.
Oh, Allegro.
Yes. Love Allegro. That coffee shop.
We made her get out. I made her get out because I was like, I just moved here. I can't be seen getting out of a limo.
No, it was bad.
Everyone wanted
me. They had
me.
The best intentions, but also send like a black SUV, not a limo. Not a limo. So like 1990s.
It was so crazy.
That is insane.
It was hilarious.
But I do love Allegro coffee. Yeah. Like they sell that at Whole Foods. Like it's pretty but like the coffee shop there is so, so bomb. But they have such good coffee everywhere. Huge sports city. Go to an Avs game if you like hockey. Go to a Rockies game if you like. Even if you don't like baseball, the Rockies games are really, really fun. They've got the Denver Broncos. Just so many good sports teams there. And then you got to get outside and go hiking. Like even if you're not a hiker, there's plenty of easy trails to do just outside of downtown. And everything's just so accessible. Like usually if you live somewhere and you want to go hiking, you've got to drive hours to get to great hiking. You can drive 20 minutes and be in the mountains when you're in Denver. And it's so nice. And then in the winter, I had never been on a mountain before in the snow. I'd never skied. I'd never snowboarded. And I went out a couple different times over the winter that I lived there and took some snowboarding lessons. And I wouldn't say I learned how because I probably couldn't do it now. But it is, Val's a freaking pro. But it is so fun. And I would say like get out there and take some ski lessons or snowboard
lessons. You are so adventurous.
I just love it.
I love
being on the mountain. Val can speak to snowboarding more because she's done it more than me. But like how good is like apres culture?
Oh,
like
yeah.
How good is it to be on
love,
the mountain? And it's all right there at your fingertips when you're in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
It's really too fun. Good.
It's very chic and bougie too.
That's what I was getting to say. Your whole apres.
It's good.
What does that even mean?
It's like what you do, a pre ski. Yeah. Like they'll have like this, like, you know, restaurants or whatever, like the lodges. And some of the, if you go to like the French Alps, there are like some really fancy ones.
They have DJs and stuff too.
DJs and people like party and like after snowboarding, it's out. And
but
everybody's
it's like
decked in Montclair, you know?
It's like a daytime party or like an evening party.
Like I cannot think of anything worse.
It's so good.
It's good.
It's too good.
It is fun. Have you ever skied or anything or tried it?
Never.
Never did a lesson? No.
I actually think you might like skiing.
I feel like I could see her
right?
under her chicest,
in the,
like,
the Chanel
totally.
Jumpsuit.
Yeah,
I
can see it.
I can see it. Maybe one time, and then I'd be so over it.
I know. I could just see you. Right? You'd totally probably be pretty good at it, because that's just how you are, same with things. And I could just see you on there hitting the slopes, getting it in your Chanel jumpsuit.
I feel like I'm more like, a snowboarder.
No, I think skiing.
Not snowboarder. Snowmobile.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. That I am good. You don't even know you've never been.
She could
no,
so
but I'm
chic
such
outfit.
A good ATV-er that I would be good.
I'm so good at it. You've never been. Ever.
But if you ride an ATV, isn't it just an ATV on like a sled?
Yeah, it's fun.
Sounds great.
It's very fun. So anyway, all that to say, I love Denver. Great city. And like, I think easy to make friends in Denver because everybody's so like out and about all the time.
I would think so.
Yeah. Constantly people walking around. It's cool. Great fitness scene there too. It's like a very healthy city, you know?
Even Red Rocks, people work out there all the
time.
What? Right?
Yeah. During the day. Yeah. You can go and like run the stairs. People are doing yoga out there on the steps too. Like it's so cool. One more.
Randy, so my question is about my old trailer. So I know that you remodeled a trailer, Tish. So my question is, we've already done a bunch of remodeling, but I want it to feel just a little bit more modern. It's a 90s style trailer, specifically on the outside. So what are some more inexpensive things that could be incorporated to make it more modern. All right, so that was it. I love you guys. I listen to you every week. And that's it. Bye-bye.
I wish we had picks. I wish we had picks too, but what I can say is because my trailer was from the 70s and the person before me that had it, it was very shabby chic.
Mm-hmm.
So like I did not want it to feel shabby chic. You know, I wanted it to feel more me. So I definitely needed to modernize it a little bit. So the one thing that you can always do is paint. And because mine before was like the lightest gray, almost white. It was a light gray, but very shabby chic, and with some baby blue and just very cottagey. And so the first thing I did, I didn't paint it black, but I painted it like a deep, deep charcoal. And it immediately changed the entire place from being very shabby chic cottage to very more modern, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just such a easy, inexpensive flip.
I also love the tile you put outside.
So, and I didn't do tile on the whole thing because that gets more expensive. So I only did the two stairs leading up to it with a little landing going up the stairs. And it was so inexpensive. And it was kind of a statement tile. And it, along with just painting it that dark, it was called soot. And it was just so pretty and so much more modern looking. So those are easy fixes. And we can put up some recommendations of, there's tile that you can literally get at like Floored and Decor,
yeah.
or at Amazon, mm-hmm. anywhere, that are kind of that shabby chic Aztec-y feel.
Yeah.
That will always look good with that dark.
I feel like she could also change the lights on the exterior.
Easy.
And that, like, it's crazy what a difference that can make.
Totally.
To like change out old, like, yes. fixtures.
I did that too, where the fixtures were more cottagey. I just put the most simple, like sleek, again, black.
Yeah.
Just that black on black, which just feels so much more modern.
Yeah, it does.
You need to post more to Tish Size Interiors.
You're telling me.
I do.
I get so much inspo from you all the time. Seriously. Yes. I love, like, you have such a, you need to share more of that.
It's my favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just easy things to do are paint and lighting.
Yeah. Do we have time for a quick truth or toke? Great. Can't wait.
Oh, great.
Are we going to make Val just answer, or are we all going to answer all the questions?
I feel like we all should answer.
It depends on what it is.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. We'll start with an easy one. What is a secret talent no one knows that you have?
That's so weird.
What, like, do you mean?
A secret talent?
Yeah.
Well, like, maybe it's not so much of a talent, but, like, maybe like speaking different languages.
Exactly.
That's a major talent.
She speaks like four languages. It's been crazy.
Yeah. Every country we go to, she can talk to people. I swear to God. It's nuts.
So, I mean,
English, Spanish, French, Italian, that's four. You can talk, you can speak all of those.
Well, I can, you know, keep up with my Italian friends over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know.
Marta.
I spent a week with you in Rome. But I know.
But I just, you know, I grew up like internationally a lot my whole life. So people don't
know. Yes.
And so people don't know that about me. Like, I don't have a hometown. And so I grew up like in the Middle East. I went to French school. And so I speak Spanish. And mm-hmm. so a lot of people don't realize.
There are situations we've been in.
Oh my God.
That without you being able to speak different languages was not offended. Okay.
I don't travel without her for this very
serious. We're just like, wait, what did they say?
Just bring me into it. Yeah. So anyways, it's always a pleasant surprise
that
when people don't know. And then I just bust out Spanish or something.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
like, they're like, what?
It's so great.
Yeah.
I remember one time her doing that and Gabby was like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we were in Argentina.
You remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People have no idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Thank God you were on that South America run. I literally would have been so lost.
Oh, so lost.
So much trouble.
Pocket translator.
Even like, which country were we in where they speak Portuguese?
And she was managed, very similar.
She
yeah.
managed that. It's just crazy.
She really did. Did you know what mine is? And
let's
I won't
hear it.
Spill all the tea.
Oh,
that people do not know that I wrote at least half of a verse of a very, very, very popular song. Anyway.
It's not that secret, but I feel like I guess my talent that everyone's always so shocked I can do is this whole hosting thing.
Oh, you're amazing.
You're
host.
Literally, you need to just host the Oscars or the Grammys
or something.
She's an amazing host.
She would
host.
Kill NBC, ABC, wherever you're at, literally. Would murder it.
It actually is insane. Molly, I forget what we were doing. We were playing a game and she goes, Brandy, tell everybody
the
rules.
Yeah, can you host this?
And then Brandy stood up and did it. And she was like, Holy crap. What? Why are you not hosting some massive chef?
100%. I say this every time, even right now. It's looking at our
It's my low key talent. Like when I do, like I get put in a lot of situations. Like an example is at the Wynn recently. We were like doing all shooting all, like the promo and stuff for the Wynn residency. And a lot of times this will happen where someone has like, they'll be like, all right, just a quick video of you saying like, hi, my name is this and I'm doing this and I'm here with this and this. And they're like, okay, go. And I do it in one take and everyone's like, why are you so good at that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it usually really takes people like a few tries to do those things.
It's like a muscle you have.
I just, yeah, it just like hear it and I say it and I do it and it's done. I don't know. Because
trust me, usually I'm so stoned and she keeps us completely on track.
I mean, someone has to.
Somehow.
Somebody has to. All right, next one. What's your biggest insecurity?
Oh my God. I mean, aren't we girls filled with insecurities? Maybe sometimes I like feel like I have like a really white cheekbone structure. So sometimes
I love it.
Are you
insane? I see your
so
facial structure.
I feel like I have to really like position myself in a certain way to not like have like I feel like I have like a pit bull face sometimes.
Not even a
Are
little
you
bit.
Fucking crazy.
Because your face is so dainty.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I was like, kind of.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Me either.
I mean, that's just one of my many insecurities, to be honest. Okay. Not a lot, but I guess that one's the one that just came to mind.
It came to you. Okay. Tesla, you got one?
We know.
What do you mean?
What?
I feel like mine is just always this. Like,
why are we going physical with this?
Is that not anything?
But I mean,
I guess my true biggest insecurity is being abandoned. Because it's happened so many times.
Fear of abandonment. Yeah.
Interesting. That was deep.
You?
I guess if we're going deep. I feel like mine is probably, and I usually just like, I'm good at just masking it because that's whatever. I'm like so mind over matter about it that I know that like, it's not just me. But usually like, especially in work scenarios, I just always feel like super not qualified to be there. Like, I'm like, who let me do this? who's paying me to do this? I should not be doing this. And I just always feel like I'm not qualified to be doing what I'm doing.
Like imposter syndrome.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah, major.
That would be one of my deep ones too. Oh, yeah. Like, I know what I'm talking about, but sometimes I'm like, am I giving the right advice? Like, am I right? And I'm like, okay, I'm right. Like, but like, am I?
I know.
Like, should I be doing
questioning
that?
Questioning it. Yeah.
Like,
I know.
Oh, you're giving me this amount of budget. Like, can I actually execute
this? I think
this?
I just always think that there's somebody that can do it better than me. And so, like, why'd they pick me kind of thing, you know? I think that's probably mine. But I'm really good. I just am like, well, make it till you make it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We all are.
Cowboy so good up. At that.
Got a cowboy up. Yeah. That's what I think. Okay. Well, on the flip side, this isn't on here. I'm just making it up. But what's your biggest strength? Like, what's something that you're just like, if there was one thing you would say you're the absolute best at, what is it?
I think I'm really good at, like, making connections and friendships and, like, establishing, like, a communication, like, common ground with somebody. I feel like regardless, like I have so many crazy, like eclectic friend groups and just like, I mean, I grew up living in so many different countries, but every time I was somewhere new, like new culture, new language, I had to figure out how to like establish like common ground and how to like just negotiate a friendship or not negotiate, but like, you know, just like establish a connection with people. And I feel like I'm pretty good at like just you can drop me somewhere like where I don't know anybody and like I'll come out with 5 friends. Mm-hmm. I feel like
that's so true.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you truly like get along with everyone.
Yeah, I'm really like, you know, like I understand everybody's different and like you can have your ideas, like even
I feel
if
like
I
that's me, my strength too. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like I never want to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very just like, yeah. But, I can see that about Tizzle.
Like, I just always
You're
want
so
every,
easy to talk to.
I don't she want is. Anybody to feel, like, sad.
But you all, but also, like, if there's somebody you don't like, you're not giving them the time of day.
But she's never that, standoffish.
Here's the thing about me is, like, I kind of love everyone until they give me a reason not to.
True.
And then I do not. And you know what I mean? It's like, I love y'all. I love everyone. But honestly,
don't cross me.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
And if you do, it will not be good.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
That's not true. But anyway, I just think I get along with almost everyone.
So is that your biggest strength?
I think so.
Interesting.
What about yours?
Horses.
You're really good at that.
Where I feel my most capable is with horses. Like, I just do. But it's also the thing I've spent the most time on in my life and learned the most about and like all that. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel very qualified.
Yeah. No, I feel like I love horses so much just from like spending time with you and like seeing you ride, like just your horses, your farm. Like, I love it. I think it's absolutely amazing.
You're really good at PRing shit. I know we use that as a Val these days. We're like, Val, can you PR this? But what's funny about that is like, I'm thinking more of like when we're on trips or like when we're like trying to get into a restaurant. We're like, Val,
she's a good problem
can you
solver.
PR that? But it's funny because that is exactly what you said. It's that whole like negotiating the relationship, right? Like you're just good at talking to people. You're good at like.
It's kind of everybody has a why and why they want to do something, a reason. And if you can tap into it, sounds
so
like it's psychological warfare a little bit, but we all have something that makes us move and that we want. So if we can tap into what,
how do I motivate you to do what
just,
I want?
You know, read like How to Make Friends and we know that and with what's that? Carnegie or whatever. It's a great book. I mean, anybody.
I don't know about that.
Dale Carnegie, I think, is in like How to Make Friends and whatever. It's some, just look up Dale Carnegie, How to Make Friends, and it'll show up. But like, it's all about like understanding, even when you're negotiating something for work or anything, you got to know what people want and like why they would want to do that. And in a, not obviously their approach is everything too, right? But if you can find that, you can find commonality with people and people can understand and like, oh, okay. Like, you know, like it makes people be more friendly and more open.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed for sure. Very good at that. Well, that was so fun.
Told you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Val.
Love you guys.
I know you probably don't care to plug like any of your personal things, but like, can you plug some of the brands you work with and tell the stoners like how they can support you and what you're doing?
Well, right now I have a new brand called Rue Sophie that's coming up and going to relaunch in January, and it's worked really hard on it.
The jacket
is it. Actually, the skirt is too. Not the shoes.
I've asked you about that jacket every single time I've seen you.
I need to give it to you. I need to get it.
Rue Sophie.
Yeah.
So cute.
So good.
It's really good. It's really quality. And, you know, they're available right now, like at Nordstrom's and stuff. And probably going to be at Moda Operandi. Like, they're getting in really great doors. And it's been really fun to work on. So, Rue Sophie. And you might find something you like.
Cute. Love it.
Is
Thanks,
it just
Val.
R-U?
Like,
S-O-P-H-I-E?
Yeah, like Rue Sophie, yeah.
R-U-E?
R-U-E.
Yeah, R-U-E.
That Rue. Is so cute.
It's cute.
Yeah.
It was actually called Sophie Rue, but I flipped, like,
she
flipped
changed it.
Oh, I like Rue Sophie.
It's just chicer.
It is.
Sophie Rue is a little too, like, quintessential, soft.
Yeah.
It sounds, like, younger.
Yeah.
Rue Sophie sounds more elevated. It's like, we couldn't really change the name too much, so we just wanted to, like, what's, like, the next
freshen
step?
It.
Yeah.
Before we let the stoners go, I got to remind you all to be calling into that voicemail. Please call in with your DMT questions and don't just call in, film a video because we love the video submissions so much, especially when you guys have high design questions. We like to see the visual. So don't forget about that. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, I'm Alana Dunn, and I'm the host of Seeing Other People. As an early Hinge employee, a modern dater, and now a fiancé, I know the dating world maybe a little too intimately. I'm here to make you feel less alone in your dating journey, whatever it may look like. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Whether you're looking for love or just want to laugh and commiserate with others, tune in to Seeing Other People as we explore the roller coaster that is the ever-evolving world of dating.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.